Hello, welcome to Trust in Evil.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Bryony.
And it's my case.
Sam's case.
So I'm going to do a 911-999 callie one again, because we haven't done one of those in a hot minute.
Are any of them 999 or are they just 911?
One of them is a 999 call, okay. Yeah. One that you're very familiar with. Just wanted to say, you posted the goodie bags. Woo.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, woohoo.
Well
yeah,
done.
Them. Some of them have received them as well. What I will say, though, is I haven't posted the Australian ones. And should I tell you why?
Why?
Because I haven't been to the post office. And we are not sure if they can accept sweets in Australia. So I haven't posted them because if they can't, I'll take them out.
Okay.
Because it'd be easier to do that. Because Tim was like, they'll just stay in quarantine for ages. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he was like, you need to check it. And I forgot to ask you. So if you can find that out, if anyone could let us know, that'd be fab.
Just Google it. I'm sure it'd be on there. But however, we'll have to get it done. Get it done.
Do you see me? I'm just like, I'm not Googling it. So I looked at
she
you.
She just wants me to do all the work. She's terrible.
I do.
These were your idea, darling.
Yeah, I have the idea and then you do it. But you somehow it's gone. I had the idea. You half did it and then gave it back to me.
To post. I did the rest. You just had to post it.
It's hard.
My heart bleeds. I was going to swear, but no, it bleeds for you, darling.
But yeah, that's the only thing I haven't done is the Australian ones because I just don't know about the...
I'll get on Google in a minute and we'll have a look.
Yeah, the quarantine thing. Because I do know they're a bit funny on food, aren't they? No, I was going to ask Tina, actually. I should have asked Tina.
Yeah, you should have.
I'll find out. I'll text her in a minute.
She's going to ask Tina, guys. Dum-dum-dum. So yeah, that's all I really had to say. Thank you for you guys that did sort of take part and left us nice reviews. We are very, very grateful for them, and welcome to all the new listeners that have joined our Facebook page and everything. It's been lovely to have you.
Yeah, welcome. It's been lovely. As you know, I'm not very active on social media. That is more Sam's thing.
It is.
But she does a fabulous job.
Well, I try.
You know?
So, are you ready to go on with this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it. So, it is a million degrees here, so I'm just sweating my ass off, so I will try and get through this as quick as I can. So, I came across this first call and immediately interested me. I couldn't just, skip by it because it's one, as I said, that we both know very well, not the call itself, but the case. And this was a case that was really, really close to our hearts, one that definitely laid heavy with us, and that is the case of... Arthur.
What you got? We're doing a 9991 on Arthur.
Yeah, 999. So
on Arthur.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's Arthur. I always hate his last name because I always feel like I'm going to bodge
it's
it. Hughes. But it's Lambino Hughes.
Sorry. Yeah.
Lambino.
It's not pronounced like that, but it is. It's very difficult to pronounce. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's not. If you know it. And you've heard it, you're like, oh yeah, but it's when you're reading it how it's written, you want to put that in like the B or something you want to put in.
It's got a J in it, and that's where my dyslexic brain is just like, rah! But yeah, so this is the phone call that Emma Tustin, which was his, I'll call her step parent, but I don't really like calling her that because she was shit. So it was the call that she placed on the day that all this took place and Arthur, poor little Arthur, died. If I remember rightly, we might have put some call.
We may have played
but I can't remember. But as I said, if we had played it before, it was a long time ago. And I just couldn't go past this and be like, I don't know, there was just something coming in. I was like, I have to put this one in. So I am.
And it's nice to refresh sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the actual Arthur case, are we?
Obviously we'll do a little bit about that, but it's more focused on the call and what happened.
Yeah.
So for those that aren't familiar, I'll give you just a little bit of info. So Arthur lived with his father, Thomas, and Emma Tustin, which was Thomas's partner. They also lived with Emma's children. So in the time leading up to little Arthur's death, he was horrifically abused. What other word can we use other than horrific that's worse? It's just
tortured.
He was this poor little lad, the last sort of bit
it's
of his life
word.
Was
you
awful.
Really, I wouldn't even say abused. I would say tortured.
Yeah, it is torture.
Like
it is torture. Definitely. So, it was your case. So is there anything you wanted to say? Because you really went down with this one, didn't you?
I will say there's one thing I want to point out that I has been drawn to my attention more now is Arthur's biological mum. That she was in prison at the time of his murder. She was in prison for murder. We didn't know a lot about it then, but I was sort of a bit like, you know, I couldn't really tell you what his life was like while he was living with his mum. Apart from I sort of said, I think it wasn't amazing. It wasn't your mum that bakes cakes for you, but I don't really think she was a bad mum. What I will say is, I think from the minute Arthur was born, I don't really think you can ever say that he had a perfect home.
Yeah, he wasn't the most cherished.
No, I think he was definitely always, you know, there was always something going on in his life. He was never the main focus of anyone's
life.
Yeah,
he was always sort of the last thought.
Yeah, and I do think that his dad, when he got with Emma, it was sort of just like the norm. Not the norm as in he was being abused. It was just sort of a normal sort of, Arthur was always just
drug along.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it now.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, like the more things I've read about now. Yeah. I just think Arthur was definitely, like at the last fault. He was always everyone's last fault.
Yeah.
Apart from he was quite close with his grandparents, and I know his uncles were quite close with him, which is nice. So he did have that, but I think that's the only time he ever got shown sort of real love and affection, and you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know really about his mum, but I think she was an alcoholic, and how can you be a mum and be an alcoholic? Or, you know, a really good mum and be an alcoholic.
You do get your high functioning alcoholics, but I don't think, from what I've read, she wasn't particularly one of them.
No.
So it's fair to say, from birth, he probably didn't have the best sort of chances
Which
in life.
Which is even worse. Mm. See, makes this case even worse.
So sad.
He never really had...
Had a chance.
Love, really. This is all he's ever known.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we can look at this and think, right, from when he moved in with that Emma, this is what he knew. No, this is all he ever really knew, he was just... the last one on everyone's mind.
I really do hope that, as you said, like the grandparents and whatnot, I hope he felt that love, because he deserved it.
Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah.
Little blonde haired, smiley, that photo of him.
I know.
Which, if you know the case, you've definitely seen. It just breaks your heart.
Yeah. And COVID was a massive thing.
I was going to say, this was a lockdown case, wasn't it?
Yep. And so many more cases coming out around COVID. You know, our last case, that was sort of half COVID related, that happened sort of in the mix of COVID. COVID has a lot to answer for.
Yeah. I mean, not that COVID makes people hurt their children by any means, but it let them get away with it more so than usual.
Yeah, and schools weren't hot enough on getting those children back, you know. And schools in general are not hot enough on finding out. You've got the children that can't go in because they really, really struggle, and then you've got the children that's parents are lying through their teeth.
Yeah.
And it's acceptable.
Yeah.
So it's acceptable if you ring up and say your child's really, really ill all the time. That's acceptable. But if you ring up and you say my child's really struggling mentally, that's not acceptable.
No.
You know, you can't win.
No. And that's something you've had serious hand in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you are struggling with that right now.
Yeah, and I do not ring her in sick.
No.
I refuse to. If she's not ill, I'm not ringing her in sick.
No, I'm the same. With my kids, I'm like, and my kids are little, well, my eldest, bless him, bless his cotton socks, he will sort of, not so much anymore, actually, but he went through a phase of faking illness.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was like, go in. If the school sends you home, you can come home, because I don't know if you're lying or not. It's basically it. And the school are ringing me and sending me letters saying that they're going to find me. So it's like, you've got it to a stage now where you have to go regardless. And if they send you home, they send you home.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess, you know, he had lots of... what was it? They filmed him, didn't they?
They had cameras anyway.
Yeah.
They had cameras. And we do find this a lot going forward now anyway.
People, yeah.
I can't work it out. I don't know why they have cameras, if I'm honest with you. Because I can't see them playing it back. Because surely you won't have to edit all of that footage just to get the footage you wanted.
Yeah.
Or if it's just like, we've got a camera and it does work, and or if it really isn't, they would sit there and see if he moved.
Yeah.
See if that child's moved.
You know, which I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, to be fair, I've said to you, don't go out and get any food and you're not going to. Yeah. And I will know because I've got a camera.
Yeah.
And then they'll check and, you know.
Yeah. And that's something they did do. They withheld food from him.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that a little bit in the minute. I will, I guess I'll just play the clip and
yeah, then we'll
see what you say.
Should breathe in.
Barely.
Okay, is he breathing right now, though, even if he's...
Is he breathing, Tom? He keeps taking big dark breaths. Basically, my six-year-old stepson is falling, he's banged his head.
Okay.
And while he was on the floor, he's banged his head another five times.
Okay.
He's lost colour, he's got a big lump on his head.
Awake?
What's up,
is he awake?
He's half in and out, okay. But he's banged his head quite hard.
Is he breathing noisy or abnormal?
Is it noisy or abnormal? He's barely there, he's barely breathing, he's okay. In and out, he's taking right. Part.
Okay.
He's basically been treating us all like shit. He's threw himself on the floor, he's headbutting the floor. I'm trying to pick him up in the process, he's headbutting me in the process.
Okay.
I've got him off, he was breathing like a little bit better at first.
Yeah.
Washed him down, put some water down him, tried to obviously get him
okay.
Like, a bit more colour in him, but then obviously I've seen the lump on his head that he's done to himself.
Right. Help's been arranged for him, okay?
Yeah.
Try and keep calm for me. Can you get him lay out flat on his back?
Flat on his back.
How old is he?
He's 6, nearly 7.
Old. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, there
he's very pale, but obviously it's a big bang. He's knocked himself out by the look of him.
And he's barely breathing, though.
He's barely breathing. He's lost just at the minute.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you how to give basic life support. Okay, so be calm. Just keep going. He's still not responding.
No.
Okay, just keep going for me.
He's got some big lumps on his head where he's banged himself.
Okay. Just keep going. Don't stop. Just keep going that way. Push.
So, for me, I don't think she sounded that worried, considering it took her a while to let the 999 operator know that he's barely breathing. That would be the first thing that's coming out of my mouth.
I think he was, that 999 call handler was a little bit confused because he's like, he's barely breathing. Well, is the patient breathing? Well, he's breathing, but he's barely breathing. Is he making any noises? And then she'd ask, well, I mean, he is breathing, but he's not breathing. As someone on the other end of the phone, you're sort of going, is he or not?
I think he failed to realise how
important it was
because of the way she was describing it and her trying to push this narrative of, oh, he fell over and banged into me and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, she was basically just making sure that they knew what had happened.
Putting her version of events forward, you know, and little concern for poor little Arthur.
Yeah, and you know by, you know, people that are trained, you know, in this field, this is what criminals do. They will try to make sure they get their version of events in first. And then that must be what happened. They're going to believe that because I've said that. That's what's happened.
Push that narrative.
Any different. Yeah.
Yeah. But she didn't sound that concerned at all. And, you know, this was serious. Poor little Arthur did die.
And his dad was just as, you know, as blasé about it as well, wasn't he? He's a bit like,
meh. Yeah, he's melt. So when Arthur died, an autopsy was carried out, which showed the magnitude of abuse that he suffered and must have done for a considerable amount of time leading up to his death. So he was severely malnourished. He had salt poisoning. His body was covered in over 130 bruises alongside many other injuries that had either healed or were in the process of healing. So there was a court case in which Emma and Thomas denied murder, but the jury saw right through that, thank God. And Emma will now serve a minimum of 29 years in prison, whilst Thomas will serve only 21 for manslaughter because it's thought that Emma was the main abuser.
Which I disagree with that one.
How so?
Because if you look at the text message, you know, you probably haven't got them all there, but
no.
You know, if you go back and look at the text messages in that, she's saying to him, he's been a little shit today, and he's going, I'm going to end him when I get home.
Yeah.
Yes, they're saying, at the thing is, all the court's got to go on is who actually killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, she was the one that was there. She was the one that was saying, I told him off, I put him in time out, he banged his head.
Yeah.
They've got that as hardcore evidence. So would you go after her more than you would him?
Yeah.
Of course you would. And you know he's going to get something. But as an outsider's point of view, I disagree with that. I think 100% both to blame.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it took them to get help from when he hurt himself. I there was a pause in that as well. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember how long, but
Go back and listen to the case, guys, if you're interested in it. Like I said, I didn't want to just repeat an old case. It was more sort of the call that I wanted to sort of focus on.
This case was big, but not as big as I thought it would be, because it sort of got swallowed up a little bit. There was a few other things that happened around this time, and it should have really been bigger than what it was, I think, because he really did suffer.
He really did suffer.
And, you know, the grandparents noticed bruising, and authorities were phoned, and it was sort of pushed to the side.
Yeah.
It's just another failing. You know, schools were asking for him to come back, but they weren't pushing for him to come back. They were believing that he wasn't very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, should schools be checking? Yes, they should be checking. Mm-hmm. Should they be asking for medical records? Yes, they should. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to take him to the doctor. We're going to make an appointment the next week. Oh, he's not going to be in again this week. We haven't made the appointment, but we're going to make the appointment. And instead of them chasing it up, they're just sort of believing somehow what they're saying.
Yeah. It's my belief that in cases like this, the father and the mother, for the input that they had, they should never walk out of jail, ever.
No, ever. No way, 100%.
And we say this a lot, that the sentences just aren't nowhere near enough.
Especially for things like salt poisoning. Like, he had a really, really high, really, really high
level of sodium in his system.
Yeah, system. So, and imagine, like, anybody knows if you put too much salt in your chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine doing that to a little child that has no way of even going to the shops and getting a drink.
No.
Because they're not even allowed to leave the house.
No.
You know, they've got no way.
They're not giving him water or food or anything like that.
And they had CCTV of him on that floor when he was made to put his blanket away. And you could see how much he was struggling to even just walk.
Yeah.
You know, how could they have looked at that child and think, it's all right for us to do that? Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right. You know, it's just.
And how could it end in anything other than death? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting, disgusting, horrible people. And they should hang. They should hang. So that was our first call. As I said, I know I've repeated myself now, but the full case is in our catalogue somewhere. So it is under his name. So go and have a listen if you haven't already. But just be warned, it is such a sad case, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really
heartbreaking.
Sad.
So moving on to our next and final call. So this is about a little girl called Faye Swetlick. She was a 6-year-old girl, and she was playing outside her home on the day of Monday, the 10th of February, 2020. And that's when the 999 call took place. She was just playing around the front like you do, kids just out there doing whatever they do. And she was last seen by her mother, Selena, at around 3:45 p.m. Half an hour later, Selena placed a phone call to her boyfriend, Chad, in which she told him that she couldn't find Faye anywhere. So she took to the streets and she started asking neighbours and passers-by, like, if they'd seen a little girl, thinking she's just sort of wandered off, she'd be around somewhere.
Six. Yeah, I think your natural reaction would be like, she's wandered off.
Yeah. Definitely, that would be the first thought. It'd be like, we'll find them somewhere, wouldn't it? So with the help of locals, they searched the area, but when about 5 p.m. came and Faye was still missing, that's when her mother was proper panicking. She's like, no, I have to ring the police. 5 p.m. So it was about an hour of looking at that point. So I'll play the clip now, I think.
Okay.
I'm calling 911. What's the address of your emergency?
16 Londonderry Square. I think there's one missing child.
All right, repeat that address for verification.
16 Londonderry Square, Casey, South Carolina.
All right, and tell me exactly what's happening.
I can't. We can't find my daughter. She was playing outside, and I wanted to find her. And I was. I have to go. She is 6. She's going to be 7 in June.
All right. I'm going to stand on the line with you, but I'm going to get KCPD on the line, too. But I'm going to stand on the line, so don't hang up, okay?
Okay.
All right, ma'am. You're on the phone with Casey. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Can you tell me what your son's name is?
My daughter's name is Faye Swetwick. F-A-Y-E.
Hold on. Hold on. All right. What was the first name again?
Faye.
F-A-Y-E?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's your last name?
Swetwick.
Spell that for me.
S-W-E-T-L-I-K.
Okay. And what was she wearing?
She was wearing polka dotted rain boots. A flowered skirt.
A flowered skirt?
Was a pink rose skirt.
Okay.
And a black kind of
shirt.
A black t-shirt that has a neon design on it.
And how long has she been gone?
Last I saw her probably about an hour ago.
How tall is she?
She's 3'10".
3 foot? How much does she weigh?
65 pounds.
All right, stay on the phone with me. Do not hang up. What's your name?
My name is Selena Collins.
You last saw her in the front yard. You didn't see which way she went or anything like that?
No, she was right in front of my front porch.
Okay, does she have a
No.
All right. Have you possibly, have you walked around and tried to locate her?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay in your yard, okay? Because we have a unit out that has a dog in case we need to try to track her, okay?
Okay.
So we don't need you walking. If you can just kind of stay close to the last place she was. Hold on just a second.
I checked all the houses in my neighborhood and anybody that's actually answered without looking for her too.
Did she have a dog or anything with her?
No.
Okay, my officer will be there in just a few minutes.
Now, I know this case and Arthur's case are completely different, but that's what a worried parent sounds like to me. You know, Emma Tustin could have tried harder. But anywho, back to this one. So within minutes, the first responders had got to the scene and started looking for Faye and or any evidence. So after half an hour, the area of the search was widened and canine units, firefighters and helicopter were all deployed in a bid to find Faye, hopefully safe and well. They were looking for her at this point, not a body. So at 6 p.m, Brian Snellgrove, the Department of Public Safety Director, he asked the FBI to assist with the search. Now, neighbours were being interviewed at this time and the police had gone to Faye's father's house and informed him, A, of what was happening, but also to search the home. Always a chance that one of the parents have kidnapped.
She's just
wandered over there. Mm. Although you'd like to think that as a parent, if your 6-year-old just randomly turned up at your door, you'd be like, where's your mum?
Well, you'd like to think.
Yeah, but not all do. So nothing at all was found at Faye's father's home, and an examination of his phone records confirmed that during the time that Faye went missing and they were looking for her, he was at his house. 3 hours after Faye disappeared, the family home was established as a crime scene. So the home was examined for evidence. Now, Faye's mother and her boyfriend, so Selena and Chad, they were separated and interviewed, and at 12 a.m. they were allowed to leave the police station but not allowed to return to the home. So instead they went to a local hotel. As I said, the home is still a crime scene.
Why is the home a crime scene though at this point?
Because it's the scene of where she was seen last. It's where she went missing. I guess a lot of child things like this, it's quite often the parents. So okay. They've got to treat it.
So they haven't found any evidence yet?
No.
Oh, right, okay.
No, but they're treating it as if anything could be.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I thought I missed something now.
No. As with the father's place, no evidence was found at the family home or anything that stuck out to them on the parents' mobiles. The following day, Faye was still missing and her mother and her partner were interviewed again. Now, although they had not found any evidence at all to this point still, there was not enough evidence to completely exclude them.
No.
Either. So that's why it was sort of,
it's,
you know,
really hard, I think, for them to exclude family completely, because unless you've got something to work with, dead or alive, it's so difficult, man. Mm-hmm. So difficult.
Definitely. Now, it was during their second interview with Selena where she said something very fishy and it sort of set alarm bells off. So what she said was, she could use her mother's intuition, which would lead them to Faye. She said this to police.
Right.
And as I said, police thought this was really very, very strange.
Yeah.
And alarm bells sort of going off, like, did she have anything to do with this? So the area of the home was still being searched, only now it was with the mindset of a possible body search rather than finding Faye alive, just due to the amount of time that she'd been gone.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know there's sort of like the golden hour and 24 hours, and obviously the more hours you're missing, the less chance there is of you being found alive. Still no leads or evidence at this point in time. Neighbours continued to be interviewed, and also drivers that had been sort of in and around going through the area. So the next day, which brings us to Wednesday, so this is 3 days after Faye disappeared, Faye's mum, along with two FBI agents, went to a place called the 6 Mile Creek area, which was sort of local to their home, to search there. Nothing there was found. So then police investigators found a small amount of blood on a pillowcase that had previously been missed on the house search, and also a small amount of blood in the car of that was belonging to Faye's mother and her partner. Now, this appeared to be sort of the break in the case that the police had been looking for, but after they tested some of the blood samples, they came back positive for the mum and the boyfriend. So right. Nothing for Faye. So it wasn't sort of the smoking gun that the police had hoped for. Now, at 11:15 a.m., another of Faye's neighbours were interviewed who lived at 602 Piccadilly Square, and they said that he shared a home with his roommate, and his roommate was called Cody Taylor. Now, the guy being interviewed said that at the time of Faye's disappearance, he himself was at work. Now, he worked in a place called Wingstop. That's not really very important. Other than his roommate, Cody, also worked there. Now, he said that Cody was meant to be at work at this point, but he wasn't.
How did he know he wasn't at work?
Because he was at work.
Oh, they worked at the same place.
Yeah, they worked at the same place.
Okay.
So the roommate was at work. Cody, he was supposed to be there, wasn't.
Okay.
Now, a laundry bag of Cody Taylor's clothes was taken for DNA testing, but not inspected further at this point. Later that day, another search of Cody's property was carried out, and this is where Cody informed the police that at the time of Faye's disappearance, he was sleeping, apparently. That was what he said he was doing. He was sleeping. So, you know, Faye's still missing at this point, and now we come to Thursday, the 13th of February. So on this day, one of the wellies that Faye was described to have been wearing by her mother when she went missing, and a ladle with fresh dirt on it, was found in the Churchill Heights area, which again is near where they live. Now, there were woods near this Churchill area. Now, in this area, there were some woods. So these woods were searched, and this is where they found the partially buried body of Faye. The body, obviously, at the time, they didn't know for sure it was Faye, but, you know, they're looking for a little girl. There's a little girl's body came up, but she was wearing the matching wellie to the one that was found,
okay,
plus the other clothes that the mother had said she was wearing.
The problem is the police can never come out and say, we found a body, it's Faye, can they?
No, it has to be, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unethical.
So it was later confirmed by the coroner, Margaret Fisher, that it was indeed Faye. So Margaret's findings showed that Faye was alive until around 8 p.m. on the day that she went missing. So this is the press conference that was released to the public.
It is with extremely heavy hearts that we are announcing that we have found the body that the coroner has identified as Faye Maureen Sweatland. We are now treating this case as a homicide. As this community has been working hard to find Faye, and bring her home safely. We wanted you to know as soon as possible.
Now, I don't know if you can tell just by listening to that, but this guy that done the press conference, it was the police officer that I mentioned before, Brian, he was genuinely very upset. Like, he was sort of holding back tears. It was a really emotional press conference. Bless him.
Well, I think the thing is with them is you have to remember, even though they have, you know, that's their job, you know, you're working with the family, you're seeing how much the families are upset. Mm-hmm. You're seeing just how much even communities have gathered around, yeah. And this, you know, and you've got all this pressure, and sometimes not a relief while they're crying, but it's like, you know, at some point you must get to the point as a detective to think it's very unlikely this child's coming home, you know, alive, and then to give them that we know where your child is, we found your child, because sometimes children, you know, people are never found.
Yeah.
As a detective, you've worked that case and you're so close, but you're just not close enough. And that must be worse in some cases, because you can't give that family anything.
Yeah. And this case really did touch the community as well, which I think, you know, it would, wouldn't it? And obviously before she was found, everyone just hoped that she'd be found alive.
Yeah.
And I think that's just normal, isn't it? Although you might think, perhaps not, as time goes on, you still hope and pray for it, don't you?
You often hear parents as well that children have been missing for years, and they say, I know they're still alive.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, I very much doubt it.
But I really hope they are.
As a parent, could you honestly think if your child was missing, could you think...
Give up hope.
They're dead, you know? And strange things have happened. You had children. You've had people that have been kidnapped for long periods of time.
Yeah, or just done a runner for whatever reason, and you just hope and pray that... You know, this is what this case is, although, you know, it's unlikely. I think as a parent, I mean, I assume, obviously, it's never happened to me, touch wood, it never does. But, yeah, I would be holding out hope that I was, you know, in that small minority.
Thing is, if you don't think they're alive, there's no point in searching for them. And if realistically, you'd lose that hope of searching for them. So, you know... If you're saying, if you haven't got any hope for your child, then who has, realistically? Because a lot of these families that, you know, relatives that have been missing for a long time, you have all they've got. You are all they've got to search for them, because law enforcement haven't got the staff to do cold cases like that.
No.
Just haven't.
They can't search 24/7 around the clock forever. No. Amen, can they? So it was around the time that this press conference was going on that the roommate of Coty Taylor arrived at his home. And that's where he was greeted with the sight of Coty surrounded by a pool of blood, and he was dead. So there was a knife that matched the set from the kitchen that was found close to Coty's body. A receipt from Walmart was also found, and on the receipt were gardening supplies like those you would use if you were going to try and bury a body. So Walmart CCTV confirmed that it was Coty who made this purchase. And there is quite a bit of CCTV footage out there, so if you are interested, it's quite easy to find on YouTube. A further autopsy was taken on Faye, which showed that her cause of death was asphyxiation, and this was carried out by using a trash bag. Now, the public were really invested, as I said, and the sadness was felt by so many. They released a second press conference in which they disclosed the autopsy findings. And I'll play that one for you quickly as well.
Faye Swetlick's death did not occur at the location where her body was discovered. And her body had not been at that location. Her body had been at that location for only a short time. We have concluded that Faye's death was a homicide and took place within only a few hours after she was abducted. The cause of Faye's death has been ruled asphyxiation. Unless there's new evidence pertinent to the investigation of my office, we will not release any additional information regarding Faye Marie Swetlick.
So they ruled Coty Taylor's death as a suicide carried out by a stab wound to the neck, which obviously explains the knife. Now, the evidence that led the police to view Coty as a suspect was released to the public. Now, the day that Faye disappeared, a Lyft driver, which I think is like Uber, am I right? Do you know?
I would imagine they would have said Uber driver.
Yeah, but it's like Uber. A Lyft, it's like Uber. It's that sort of thing, I think. Yeah.
Like Uber. Oh, okay, sorry.
So this Lyft driver had picked Katie up from the Walmart parking area. Now, when the driver brought up that there was a young girl missing in the area, he said that Katie behaved in a very odd way and seemed very nervous and anxious, and told the driver, Katie told the driver that he had never met the little girl, which was just, you know, I mean, it could come up in conversation. Like, oh, I don't know the family or...
The thing is, you've got to remember everyone that's genuinely trying to do their bit to help. And if he thinks this is a little bit odd behaviour, then report it, and he did well to report it. Yeah, you know?
As we always say, it's better to report it and be wrong than not report it and be right. So later that same day, Cody's roommate said in an interview that he had started to spend less and less time at their shared home, and that Cody's mental state had begun to decline, and he'd noticed this for a little while now. And he had been having thoughts, Cody had been having thoughts of like self-harm, killing himself and whatnot. Excuse me. Now, he went on to say that Cody had been using an odour eliminator around the home, but he didn't find this particularly odd behaviour, because they would often sort of get together and smoke a bit of weed, and Cody would often sort of like just really spray the house just to sort of get rid of the smell, because we all know weed stinks. Mm-hmm. Now, he said there was a strange smell in the home, but he thought this was just due to like the spray that Cody was using just being like a cheap domestic-y sort of, you know, cheapy smell. I know what I mean. I've bought some cheap sprays and they're a bit like, I don't know, they always smell like...
Oh my, he's like, actually, do you know what? We were fucking grubby and never took the bins out, and probably bought that, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
You don't know how they live, do you know?
No. But needless to say, he had absolutely no idea that it was a decomposing body that A, Cody was covering, and B, that he was actually smelling. So there was nothing found at all that indicated that Faye knew Cody, you know, before the time that she was taken, and it does appear that she was just a victim of opportunity. So...
But you don't know what people like that would do when parents aren't looking.
No.
You know, just the odd, hi, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay, because with humans, familiarity is everything. If you recognise somebody, and you know, you're automatically, your guard is down a bit.
Yeah. Oh, the human brain loves what's familiar, loves patterns, loves repetitive.
And for children, that, you know, you might say she'd never go off, but actually, she may well have done, because she's seen him around a few times.
She thinks she knows him. You know? Yeah. She didn't see him as a threat.
Yeah.
So Cody was known to be an involuntary celibate known as an incel. So just for those of you that don't know, incels are typically known to show hate and hostility towards sexually active people, especially those of the opposite sex that they are attracted to. So, or, you know, of the sex that they are attracted to, should I say, not the opposite sex.
Right, that's
so,
fine. I knew what you meant, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Cody, he was into women, so he was... had this sort of very low opinion of women, and you know, all just sort of stuff like that, just low opinion, didn't think much of them. And they say that incels are sort of, from my understanding, it's the women's fault in this case that they won't have sex with the men.
They think that?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. The roommate also said that Cody was too scared to talk to the opposite sex, so that's probably half your reason, bud. But there you go. There was more CCTV footage found of Cody near and also walking towards the direction of where Faye's body was partially buried. So Cody's DNA was found on the ladle that they found, and also under Faye's fingernails. Now, due to Cody taking his own life, no charges have ever been filed, which seems like a no-brainer, but they have done that before. I'm sure there's been cases where they did charge after death just to say that, yeah, this happened and that person did do it. But I'd be interested if anybody knows anything about that. Let us know.
I don't think they have. I wouldn't.
There's definitely something that's been, I wish I could bloody remember it now. But something that says after their death that they did do that.
Right. So it would remain an open case because they haven't potentially charged anyone. But what they would say is, this is a closed case. We wouldn't go on to continue any other leads. Mm-hmm. We have forensic evidence that points that he did this. Like, he's done it, but we can't charge him with the crime because he's dead, but he has done it.
Yeah.
There's no other person we'd be looking at apart from him.
Yeah.
We know he's done it.
In this case, there was information on the internet saying that they haven't completely ruled out that it's possible somebody else could have helped him, although they don't think that that is what happened.
They don't think you could ever rule that out realistically with anybody, could they?
Really? Yeah.
Really?
Well, I guess you can, but it's very hard to
drive?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Or like, I don't know, like they could possibly, the reason for they might say that is maybe either he didn't drive and he would have had to have driven her to where he buried her, or he didn't have a car maybe, mm-hmm. or that something, I don't know, someone's never come forward and said they lent him his car that day, anything. You know, it could be some reason in why they're saying we couldn't 100% rule out he didn't have any help.
Yeah.
Or maybe she had someone else's DNA on her. Through anything, through smoothing some old man's dog, and that man smooths that dog there, you're going to get his DNA on your hand, you know?
Anything's possible, isn't it?
She could have had someone else's DNA on her, some, you know, some unknown DNA.
Yeah.
Not linked to her death, it's just she's picked it up.
From wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is pretty much the case. There is another clip, or a couple of clips that I do want to play, but this to me, I hate it when they take their own lives. It's just something, I get why they do it, because they don't want to face up to the consequences. But it's so just, you did this, now face up to the fucking actions and pay the bloody price.
It's like, why would you murder a child to then just murder yourself?
Yeah.
Why would you not just murder yourself? But then some people think that they do want to kill somebody. That's what they want to do, and they do it, and then they can't live with themselves after. It's too much guilt, because some people do have guilt for what they've done, you know?
Oh, a lot
and
do.
And it could have, like you say, obviously he probably never really knew, but he probably didn't plan it. It was just she was at the right place, right time.
Mm-hmm.
He took advantage of that, and then he couldn't live with himself after he's done it.
Yeah, could be.
And he just thought, what am I going to do? But then he had suicidal thoughts anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe he planned it all out.
Yep. Who knows? They said that his roommate said that his mental health was declining. Not that that's an excuse to murder anyone ever, never, unless it's a complete psychotic break. I can sort of see how that could play out. But I don't think mental health is ever an excuse to kill somebody just for no reason.
No.
But it does, I guess it is sort of like a red flag of how he got from A to B, you know?
Yeah, like the Cody a year ago would never have done that.
Yeah.
But a Cody that's living away from his mum and dad and stopped taking any medication, he might have been
smoking a lot of weed and,
things like that could. Or like, you know, his roommate might have said his mental health is deteriorating, but I'm at work. I'm, you know, I've told him to go doctors.
Yeah.
If he'd have been living with his parents, they would have noticed it more and got, you know, got him help. Someone that, not that I'm saying his roommate's done anything wrong.
No, not
I'm just saying sometimes you can help them before they get to that stage, and other times they don't have that help. Because you don't often know that you're suffering with mental health.
No.
I mean, look at me. I don't even suffer with it. It's crazy.
And even if you do know that you are suffering, you don't always know to what extent or how bad it is.
Because you don't know, you might not know other people that suffer with it.
Yeah.
And everyone's different. So you don't know. You don't know how you're supposed to be feeling and what you're supposed to be feeling. Oh, I'm depressed, so I'm supposed to feel like I want to kill myself. Not always. You can be depressed and not want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
People just assume
that is the path.
That is how it goes, you know?
No, there's so much mental health. It's just, again, we say it nearly every episode, but not one size fits all. And there's so much that we don't know.
No.
So just support people. If you can see they're struggling, support them.
Yeah.
Is all I'll say. Always offer an ear to someone.
Yeah, or maybe just like text their mum and be like, look,
check
I'm not
in.
Sure they're okay.
Yeah, just check in with them.
Yeah.
So this is what Byron Snellgrove, the director, Police Guy, who was in the last clip, this is what he had to say leading up to the anniversary of Faye's death.
For me, after 65 hours of searching, the memory of finding the small body of Faye Marie Swetlick in a shallow grave on the morning of February 13th, 2020 will never, ever leave me. In the days, months, and now nearly a year after, I see how this loss impacted our officers and our staff. This makes it almost impossible to imagine the worry and in the end, the horror that her family experienced during this time.
Even as a father and a grandfather, I cannot fathom what the pain of their loss actually feels like.
Right, so now I will play an interview that Faye's mother did and Faye's mother's partner, Chad. They did it around the anniversary of Faye's 1 year death anniversary. And I just wanted to include this. I think just sometimes it's nice to hear from the victims, you know, the people that were affected.
It makes the cases, not that these cases don't feel real, but it really does make, it really does.
Drives them home.
These really are real people.
These are real people. It's not just people that we sit here talking about. This is really happening. So sad. So here's this clip.
She was the epitome of that childlike energy that everybody just wishes that they had. From the moment that she woke up in the morning to the moment that she laid her head down at night, it was go, 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 go. She very rarely even ever stopped to eat. Like, you know, sometimes it was her running around with chicken nuggets in her hand, just laughing maniacally.
She's a very social butterfly. She will talk to almost anyone.
If, like, we ran into anybody anywhere, if she liked something that she saw, she would compliment it. She'd like, that's a good color on you. I like your hair. But she was always willing to be anybody's friend. And she wanted to be everybody's friend.
Yeah.
There is, no matter who you were, what you looked like, or what you did, she wanted to be your friend.
So that's pretty much the case in the end of the 911 calls. But, you know, another beautiful, beautiful red-haired, blue-eyed little girl taken, and it's for nothing, so silly, so stupid, so selfish. It's just horrible.
Yeah, and that poor roommate.
Yeah.
You know, he must be affected by that.
Oh, has to be. You know, he's just... What could he have done differently? Could he have stopped it? You know, it's...
And the parents as well, to know that she was right across the road.
Yeah.
And you're searching for her.
Yeah.
And she probably hurt, you know, I was thinking, did she hear me? Like, did that upset her even more? Like,
yeah, and she wasn't dead straight away, you know. There was a few hours in between her going missing and her dying. And you just think, what if I'd have found them before? And, oh, it doesn't, oh, it's just awful, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, that was sort of around COVID though, wasn't it? Did you say it was 2020?
Yeah, 20, I think. Let me just check my notes.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I think it is, but I don't want to say. Yeah, February 2020.
Yeah. COVID made people do weird things.
I don't know if that was just COVID, although it couldn't have helped any mental issues going on, I wouldn't think, for anyone.
No, people with mental health problems really did suffer.
Really suffered.
COVID.
For sure.
Yeah, really.
For sure.
Did. Yeah, because. Yeah, you think they some of them would be better because they don't have to see people, but I think that not. You know, that not having to see people is different to that not seeing people.
Yeah, it is different. And a lot of people were completely isolated, you know, completely.
Yeah.
Which is a lot different from not wanting to go out one night, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, check in on your loved ones, you know, friends, family, whoever, if you think they've got mental health issues. Just check in on them, I think. Not that they're going to go out and murder people, but just for the mental health side of it.
It's hard, isn't it? Because we don't know a lot of his background before or what traits he had before. And because he did kill himself, there's been no trial and things like that. That's what it's difficult for people because you don't get that little bit of knowledge before where you can sort of think, oh, well, he did have those tendencies.
Yeah.
There was something there before.
Yeah.
You just don't know if it was just a mental health break. Or, you know, it could have just been that you could have never thought about it before and did it and that's why he killed himself. Or,
yeah,
I don't know. But, yeah, the poor family. Well, both children in that case. It's so sad.
Yeah, very, very sad. But usually I like to end, I've started, haven't I, ending these cases with a bit of a funny one. But I knew that this was going to run long.
Yeah.
Because I knew that case had quite a lot of information in it, the last one, Faye's case. So I haven't put a funny one in today, but I will try my best next time I do a 911-9991. Oh. I'll try my best to put a bit of comic relief in at the end so we're not all depressed all the time.
No, we're not always depressed.
No. So that's me, that's my case, that's us this week.
It's so hot, man.
It's so hot.
We've been sitting here. We've got
ever.
No fan. Like, oh my, we should have got ice packs or something.
Oh, we should have. We're about, what, 3-4 hours in now and
I've
we are melting.
All night, And then this morning, and poor Sam's had to put up with me, and I stink. Sweat. I'm really selling myself, aren't I?
Yeah, things I do for this podcast.
I can't smell you. I was like, I stink. I smell horrible. I feel horrible.
And now she's fanning it towards me, so yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've stolen Sam's fan, and I'm fanning it.
I'm the one going through menopause, and you've nicked me fan.
Oh, my gosh. But thank you very much for listening. And
thank you, guys.
We do really appreciate people that obviously share our podcast, join our page, interact with us, talk to us.
As always,
shout outs, but we decided not to do it this week. We're gonna do it the next lot, because we're gonna figure out how we're gonna do it, like, going forward, either the beginning or the end. We haven't really figured it out yet.
No,
because I was going to be one of these podcasts that I'm not going to do shout outs like that, but now I realize how nice it is when
it is, because we've got a couple that really sort of interact on our page and just interact with us, send us lovely messages and that.
Really nice messages. Yeah.
And I hope you know who you are, but we will shout you out at some point.
Basically, anyone that's ever sent us a nice message for talking to you, anyone that's left me a shit review, if you message me, I'll reply to you, but I can't reply to you and you've got fake names. No, I have tried stalking them, don't you?
Let it go, Bryony. Let it go.
I just want to give my opinion.
Over your head. Who cares?
I just want to tell them why I didn't know that case. The case we weren't even doing.
Find your zen place. You don't have to explain yourself to strangers, darling.
No, but I like to explain myself. But yeah, so we just want to say thank you to everyone that's kind and lovely and understands.
And supported, yeah. And the good reviews. Thank you so much, guys. You really don't know how much we appreciate it.
No, you don't. But yeah, come on our Facebook page and chat. We've got a Facebook group, haven't we? And it is a Facebook group. What I mean is like
it's a chat within the group.
Chat within the group. But I did it not by accident. I just didn't really know what it was. And it's just Lucy Letby. But I might either try and do a new one or change it somehow.
Change the name.
I don't mind what we talk about. We don't have to talk about Lucy Letby on there. It was just how it
was. Might be a good idea to start a new one.
Yeah, we'll start. You start a new one.
Try. I promise nothing. I'll have a look.
Okay, but yeah, we'll start a new one, and then if you join, and if you don't want to be in it, just leave.
Yeah,
we don't. You know, we're not pressuring anyone to be in it. It's just
just for those of you that want to.
Cases. I did get somebody ask me to do a case, on something that happened in Exeter, which I'd completely forgotten about actually until she asked. So that's gonna be my next case.
Ooh.
Just because when she said it, I was like, I don't know that case. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh yeah, I do, but I don't know much about it. I knew it happened, and then I didn't really look at it any further. So I thought it'll be interesting to research, and we should know more information now because it happened maybe 2 years ago, two years ago.
Have you done a local case to us? Because I've done a couple. Have you done any?
Probably not then.
Oh, I'm interested.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Ooh.
I can't remember. Probably should have done one at least.
Don't know.
Maybe. I'm going to say maybe.
That's a good solid answer.
Yeah, just maybe.
Meh. Who knows?
I don't know.
Anyway, guys, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And think of us in this heat.
Yeah.
That's got an ounce of coolness. And we don't have aircon in the UK.
No, we don't have aircon in the UK. I swear to God, we should all have aircon. Everyone should have aircon. It should be just a thing that you have to have in your house.
Tim brought home this like massive aircon unit, right? Beginning of the summer. He's like, yeah, it's going to be great. And we had like a few hot days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is a waste of being in my front room. Now I'm like, this is it is really good.
I'm going to come and nick your air conditioner.
They are really, really good. You would probably get more use out of it because I feel like you'd use it all year round.
I would. I really would.
It does literally cool your front room out. I can see how good air cons can be.
Yeah.
You know, it is really good.
I have told Tim that I want one, but
yeah,
we'll see. Good. We'll see. Right. Well, thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.